is over on page 5, is 1.11. Now you see why we thought it would be better to not actually focus on measurement criteria. When feasible, flood measures and projects should offer risk management to the maximum level possible.
Somebody explain what that actually means.
Anybody want to take a stab at it?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to establish, without saying, trying to put urban areas in 100-year flood level of risk management and rural areas outside of it, yet still giving them maximum protection without getting specific about how to say it. And I think that's why it's kind of so convoluted the way it reads. And I don't know how to word it to where
was,
you don't want to put 100-year flood risk management in a rural area.
Darrell, was this trying to get at the idea that you've been a strong vocal person on, and that is flood protection versus risk reduction or risk management? You talked a lot. You went to a conference and you said it's about risk management. It's not about flood protection. Is that
right.
What this one's trying to get at?
Well,
is that part of
it's all about risk management.
Right.
And
but I'm wondering.
When we're talking about maximizing our abilities to the maximum possible levels, it's basically a convoluted way. I think this is a convoluted way of saying take urban areas, put them at 100-year flood level, take rural areas and put them at an 80-year flood level. As long as they're in a non-developable flood risk management area.
Let's say that.
Well, I mean, that's what that's saying. It's just it's a weird, convoluted way of saying it.
Go ahead, Bob. If you have the language, I was going to suggest something.
Darrell has the language. I mean, it's very clear what that's saying. So we want urban areas in greater or equal to 100 and rural areas.
We want urban growth areas in the 100-year flood risk management, and we want rural areas in a maximum level below 100-year flood level, flood risk management, so that they don't become, you know, Seattle area, whatever, Maple Valley, or whatever the hell that disaster is down there.
Okay, help us get the language here. Provide 100-year flood protection to urban growth areas and
maximize flood risk management in rural areas.
Maximize.
I don't know how would you put it, Larry?
I put it. You wish there.
You. You write corporate attorney crap all the time. How would you put that?
You must have been talking about you.
First off, I don't support any kind of language that says provide 100-year flood protection to the urban areas. Based on what I've seen on what the city of Mount Vernon is proposing, where the mayor stands up and says that this way we can build flat on the ground. I mean, downtown Mount Vernon is a hole in the ground. When if you stand in front of the courthouse and you look up to where the sandbags are, you are 12 feet below where the river level was in 90 and 95. Mm-hmm. And for anyone to say, it's okay, we're going to put up this flood wall and you've got 100-year protection, and you're going to allow that to maximize the development flat on the ground, and then you have a 190-year event. Look at the disaster you created, and man created that. God didn't do that. We did that. I'm sorry, I can't. I think the whole 100-year flood level ought to be junked, and I don't think we can do that locally. Well, maybe we can, but the federal government's the one that needs to address this standard. I forgot when one of the speakers said, I think it was the guy from NHC, said, you know, the Canadians are laughing their tails off at us. They have 250-year protection levels. And we're down here fooling around with 100-year levels? This is insanity. You're inviting a bigger disaster. Lewis County just had 2 500-year floods back to back. Is that what we're doing? Is setting up downtown Mount Vernon for that kind of disaster? Or worse yet, I don't think it'll ever get down there, but the city of Burlington, is that the legacy we want to leave? Well, we gave you 100-year protection. if you're a downpool idiot enough to move in there, then you better learn how to swim. Is that what we're going to say? So I'm sorry, I can't support anything that's got 100-year protection.
Well, that's why that was written not to have that put in, because we may not be able to reach that anyway.
I agree with that.
How about this? Getting rid of the 100-year is provide highest flood risk reduction to urban growth areas. Cynthia, what's the rest of that? Highest practical level of risk reduction to rural areas or to other areas?
I think you set a level for the rural areas at 50 years.
Are you guys ready to make that decision here in your objectives?
I don't know what that means.
And I agree with Daryl on this, is that we have to know what the hydrology tells us, what's 50, because right now we don't know.
How about, just because you're more general here in your objectives, provide highest flood risk reduction to urban growth areas and highest practical level of risk reduction to rural areas. And then you can deal with the specifics later on.
Pretty generic.
Yep. I guess what I thought was going on, I thought we were saying, or that the author was saying, nobody's going to have less flood protection than they have today because of this project. That's what I thought this was trying to say.
I'm not hearing anybody affirm that.
So say that again, we'll get that down.
As a result of this project, no one will have less flood protection.
Than they currently have.
They'll have no less flood risk.
That changes.
Yeah.
Than they currently have. I like that.
That's
a feasible thing.
Yeah.
So totally bureaucratic. Yeah. Accomplishes absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody that reads this.
But it loses power.
Well, we can turn yellow to green, okay. But it doesn't do anything.
As a result of this plan...
You can't put you at the quarter.
No one... Uh-oh. The two Larrys are high-fiving it. What's going on over here? Okay, in the future, Tom, we got to separate these guys. As a result of this plan, no one will increase level of... no one will experience or... We'll wordsmith this later on. No one will experience an increased level of flood risk. Is that okay? I heard sort of a lot of people agreeing. Okay? Everybody okay?
Wait. There's a downside to this. If you leave it like that. As a result of this plan, no one will experience increased level. Okay, I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's a commitment not to induce flooding anywhere else.
Push water back on.
Here's another scenario to that. Suppose that we do a Sterling swale that is going to go through people's farmland that increase their flood risk.
That's right.
And we do it as part of a plan.
They already have a risk. Well, you're going to have to buy them out.
Well, we're increasing the risk, though.
Not necessarily. You've got a certain amount of protection right now. And so if you say, as part of your criteria for your plan, and you engineer it and you go for it, that it's only if the river gets bigger than the current protection that these people are going to get it, I think it makes it cheaper to buy the protection. And they still, you're right, they're still going to get hammered someday, but there won't be as many of them and it won't be as often as if you say, we're going to just run the river on somebody's property intentionally.
Larry?
How is this helping us? What is this, having this statement in here, how is that going to change the outcome on the ground?
The Three Bridge Corridor doesn't happen until you go downstream and fix the water system downstream first.
That's right. You take account of the impact of the plan on other people.
So I was starting to hear people go towards this one. As a result of this plan, no one will involuntarily experience increased level of flood risk. Thank you,
that's
Cynthia.
Better.
Anybody opposed to this
that's
one?
That's a laugher.
That eliminates any overtopping.
That's good.
Overtopping is going to happen. I mean, right now, if you have the 220,000,
but if you design it in a specific place, then the folks that are living on the other side.
Yeah, but obviously those people are going to be compensated, and they're going to sign off that they're in an overtopping area, so they're going to be going to have to give consent.
Well,
to that
but if you don't increase their level of risk. Okay, one at a time. Who's next? Larry.
There certainly so if an overtopping levee is a preferred alternative, and there's 100 landowners, and 99 says yes, and one says no, what you're saying is the county then, under no circumstances, will, what's the word, condemn the property to have that project.
Yeah,
there'll be no condemnation.
That's an issue, too, yeah.
I mean, that's what this is saying.
We can't somebody's no condemnations.
And no condemnations, and I'm saying that...
That doesn't make sense.
One, I don't know if that is a good idea. That's like saying, great, we're not going to expand the roads anywhere because we're not going to condemn anything. I think it's part of public policy to be making those kind of determinations.
Yeah, if you leave that
hey,
in...
Bob, wait. It's that Bob and then that Bob. Oh, that first time. That Bob.
So, I don't think the point of the language was meant to create that circumstance. So if we can just sort of capture what the intent of this, which is basically, you know, you don't do a three-bridge corridor if it's going to flood Fir Island. You don't do a Nookachams levee if it's going to flood Cedar Woolley. I mean, that's sort of the intent. So if we can capture some language that gets at that intent, it doesn't create the circumstance that Larry's describing in the world there.
Do you have a wisdom on what that would be?
No, hey, actually
Larry,
goes unpunished.
Just Larry.
I forgot the colonel's name. But the colonel wrote a letter to you, and then that letter is on my webpage. Colonel Wynn. It was Colonel Wynn wrote a letter to you saying that you can't do anything to this river without impacting somebody. Because Leonard was... at the time complaining about the riprap that Dyke 12 was putting in under the Corps of Engineers, and it's taking out Strawberry Bar and backing up water further on the Leonard's property. And Colonel Wynn wrote that. And I remember that sentence is in one of my quotes of the month. You can't do anything to the river without impacting somebody.
Or something.
So if we leave that language up there, we're not going to do anything. You're going to leave today's conditions in place. I mean, look, there's no one in this room, with the possible exception of Leonard, that more strongly is opposed to somebody putting floodwater on somebody else's land and telling them, too bad, the rest of us need that. Because that's what I was told in 1978 and got me involved in all this. The Corps told me they're going to put 2 feet of water in my house, too bad, consequential damages, move on. I don't ever want us to say that to somebody, because I know, as a Vietnam vet who just came back and was told by the United States Army they're going to flood my house, it's too bad. Yeah, I got a little pissed off. And I don't ever want to say that to someone, but I do see, I know that the Dyke and Drainage District people, their number one project now is to run something out of Sterling, which might help you push the water across Highway 20, not onto you, but get it across Highway 20. My preference is to get it out at the Avon Bend and put it up that way, but in either scenario, somebody's going to get more water than they're getting now. And we've got to have some language that allows us to do that. I mean, I know property owners are going to say, screw you, I got a shotgun on my front porch and you're not coming on, you're not going to do this. And there is going to be times when the county is going to have to exercise eminent domain and make this happen. It's the reality of what this is all about.
No positive can be done without somewhat of a negative somewhere.
Exactly.
That's the opposite, you know, what, action, reaction? I mean, it's just...
I think if we could somehow wordsmith this so that the people who are hurt are number one, they're going to receive some kind of compensation, whether it's Floyd's easement money, buyouts, whatever. The people that are going to get hurt have got to be taken care of first.
So with that, let me just ask, unless somebody has the language right now, could I have a volunteer who thinks they now understand everything that they've heard in this discussion that could go ahead and put some language together on this one? Bob's raising his hand.
I'll throw something out.
Okay.
Ensure flood risk reduction projects don't have significant upstream or downstream impacts without some compensatory mechanism.
Say it again.
Keep
reading. Ensure flood risk reduction projects don't have significant upstream or downstream impacts without compensation.
I didn't think about the word significant. Didn't she didn't put it in. Where'd you put it in?
I put negative instead.
We'll move it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Negative.
I don't want to split hairs, but some lawyer is going to define significant for us.
Yeah. Sure.
So ensure flood risk reduction projects do not have upstream, downstream impacts without compensation.
Here we go.
Do you need anything that qualifies compensation?
Negative impacts.
There's probably something like we have in our condemnation process, has to be fair market value, yada, yada. There's got to be something you could throw in there, but you don't have to do it now. But say you define that.
Fair.
Yeah, well,
isn't that something that the details, I mean, yeah, governments have certain rules that
yeah,
they have.
As long as
the federal government has a compensation yeah program. Yeah, I mean, that is
so is that good? Ensure flood risk reduction projects do not have negative upstream or downstream impacts without compensation.
Sounds
anybody
good
opposed to that one?
That's good.
Okay, we're going to green. Let me just do a quick time check.
Thank you, Bob.